Oh, praise God. He is good. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a great big hand. Would you do that? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Would you please stand? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have a little bit of a different sound up here on the platform. Oh, praise God, praise God. We appreciate our sound, people. You do an awesome job. Hallelujah. Every person that gets up has a different voice, and they have to adjust everything, so they're just constantly back there, you know, working. But I do appreciate our sound, people. To all of our guests, we welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. You've already been welcomed, but I want to welcome you and also let you know that as of now, we have 133 people born into the kingdom this year. 133. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that great? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And good to have everybody back from camp. And I'm so thrilled. I wasn't able to go to camp, but I'm so thrilled that all of you that went, that you were able to go, and I'm sure that you were greatly blessed. Last week, we started a lesson entitled Power and Authority. And I want to conclude that today. I think what I'm going to have to do, however, is instead of turning to a lot of scripture, especially in review, and I do want to review quite thoroughly because we had quite a number of you out last week. And I don't think I've ever preached a message in which I've had more comments and even questions about than the one that I started last week. So we want to go part two on the subject power and authority. And Acts 1 and 8 and Matthew 28, 18. So Acts 1 and 8, Jesus is giving final instructions before his ascension into heaven. The crucifixion had taken place 40 days prior to this day. Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now the word power here is taken from a Greek word, dunamis. And dunamis power means miraculous power. It also makes reference to physical power. I think the word dynamite is actually taken from the root word that dunamis is taken from. In Matthew 28:18, we find that Jesus said, all power in both heaven and earth is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, when he says all power here, it's taken from a different Greek word. It actually means authority. Now, you have to keep in mind that Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he was God with us. That's what he was. And his name, Jesus, actually means Jehovah has become salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. So when you think about heaven, regardless of how you want to think about the Godhead, whether you believe there's three persons in the Godhead or one, you've got to understand that the Bible teaches us that even if there were three, and they're not, but if there were, that Jesus Christ has all the power up there. He has all the authority. Of course, we know that there's only one God. There's only one person in the Godhead. God made himself a fleshly body and came to the earth and lived in it and bled and died and suffered for the sins of his own creation. So there's only one God. And the Bible tells us that he came to show us the way to be saved. Now, you may be seated. We want to look at Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 1 through 2. Luke, the 9th chapter. So I do have quite a few things that I want to make reference to. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 1 through 2. When he called his 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, Jesus called the 12 together. He's sending them out. He's sending these disciples out to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, whatever. But he gave them both power and he gave them authority. Now, we know that there will be a day in which people would come, according to Matthew 7, and this was the scripture that I made reference to last week that kind of caught everybody's attention. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, this is a very hard passage of Scripture to interpret. Right here we got people that are casting out devils in the name of Jesus. And we have people that are healing the sick in the name of Jesus. We have people that are prophesying, using spiritual gifts in the name of Jesus. And yet, come judgment day, he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, that's kind of a hard pill to swallow. But you must, in order to interpret Scripture, you look up all the evidence dealing with any particular subject, and you draw a conclusion only after you have considered all of the evidence. Now, when Jesus sent the 12 out, he gave them both power and authority. Okay. Now, where do we get our authority? We get our authority when we take on his name. Where did Jesus get his authority? He made it very plain that the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but of my Father. He said, I come in my Father's name. So he had the authority of Almighty God because he carried the name of God. He had the name of God. Now, when Jesus sent those people out, they came back and they rejoiced. They were excited about what had happened. And, of course, Jesus told them, he said, now, wait a minute. He says, the thing that you need to understand is that you should not rejoice simply because that you had power over all these, but you rejoiced because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I try to be careful in this because it's easy to fall into this particular situation. That is, that when people are talking about the power of the devil, saints of God get up and rejoice that they have power over him. Well, that's great that we have power over him, but Jesus said, the thing about it, you should rejoice that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, last week we went over us getting authority, and we get authority when we take on his name, when we're baptized in his name. Now, we want to just drop that momentarily, and we want to go to John, the third chapter, and we want to read verse 1. We'll start with John 1. After a while, it doesn't help to have markers. I've got so many markers now, I don't know which is which, so it takes me longer to find the markers. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now Jesus goes on down in John 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now keep in mind, he's still talking to Nicodemus. This is part of the conversation. Now, the question about being born of the water, in a lot of evangelical circles, being born of water to them simply means the natural birth. In other words, you were born of your mother, you're born of water. Now you need to be born of spirit, that is, of God. However, when you take a careful look at the scripture, there's something that takes place. Jesus tells Nicodemus that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and exclude yourself from all the other teachings that Jesus gave relative to himself. In other words, you say, well, I don't believe that I have to be born of water and of spirit. Jesus said, all I have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Can you actually cut out part of the evidence? No, because if you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you can say, well, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about it is the word believe that's found here is taken from the same word that's found in Acts 5:32, that the Lord gave the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. It's also found in Hebrews 5:9 concerning obedience, that the Holy Ghost was given to them that obey him. So the word believeth here in John 3:16, and the word obey in Acts 5:32 and Hebrews 5:9 are taken from this very same word. So let's say you were going to translate the Bible and you had a Greek Bible and you looked at this and you came to this word and you would say, do I translate this as obey or do I translate this as believe? You follow what I'm saying? So because that we have access to the Greek language and a lexicon dealing with the meaning of the words, I think it'd be wise for you when you're reading your Bible is to look at this and say, now, that whosoever obeyeth him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever obeys him you can't exclude obedience. You can't. You know, so many people just say, well, I just believed in my heart. And now I know I'm saved because I believed. Well, believe is a very important part, because if you want to obey him, you must first believe him. See? Now, the amazing thing that people that are saying that water baptism is not spoken of in John 3, it seems strange to me that after he finished his conversation with Nicodemus in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, the disciples were never baptized until this point. Now, this is a long time before the day of Pentecost. A long time before the day of Pentecost. John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Siloam, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. There came a question, rather, concerning Jesus baptizing. And John's disciples were saying, but Jesus is baptizing more people than John. We know that John introduced baptism by baptizing unto repentance. But how do you think that Jesus baptized? You think he baptized unto repentance? See, here's what's happening. Okay, let me just read verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, what he's doing here, he's getting these men ready, these 12 men, and he's transferring to them the authority and the power that was given to him. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were to go and tarry until they be endued with the dunamis power that God had the disciples in a position in which they could represent Almighty God, both in power, dunamis power, and in authority, because he had previously baptized them in Jesus' name. Now, some of you look at me like you never heard this before. How many of you never heard this before? You're not going to raise your hand. And truthfully, if I were out there, I wouldn't raise mine either. But see, that's what happened, because, you know, there's always a question about who sent you to do this? What you remember when Moses saw the burning bush, and in Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, and the Lord told him, I want you to go and take my people out of Egypt. Well, first thing Moses said was, wait a minute. I don't know about this. I don't know if they'll listen to me. Now, it was this was very, very important to Moses. He says, now, when I go to deliver Israel from Egypt, I've got to tell these people. Now, not Pharaoh. He wasn't interested in Pharaoh. I guess he was interested, but he was not that concerned about what the authority that Pharaoh felt he had. what he wanted to know was, who do I tell my people, the Israelites, sent me? Now, that was important because, see, they were believers of one God. And this was established by Abraham. So this is when God told Moses, you go tell the Israelites, now not Pharaoh, not the Egyptians, but tell the Israelites, I am that I am has sent thee. When Jesus came upon the scene, he said, before Abraham was, I am, connecting himself. And so when he went to the children of Israel and told them, now we're going to be leaving here, and they're going to ask, by whose authority? Who sent you to tell us this? The great I am. Elohim, the self-existing one, the God, when he came in the form of a man on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, he talked about God. And when God swears, he swears by no greater than himself. You know, in other words, I could use the authority of God because God is greater than me. But when God speaks, he is the great I am. He is the creator. He created all life and everything, and all he has to do is say it. And that's authority enough to do it. Now, the thing about it is, though, when God speaks to my heart, and I go and I repent of my sins, and I take those sins, that old sinful man that's dead to sin, and I bury him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm doing is I am taking on his name. And when I take on his name, I take on his authority. So obviously what's happening here when these people says, look, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I heal the sick in your name. And the Lord is saying, but let me ask you, who gave you the authority to use my power? Who told you that it was okay to go use my power? I sent someone along to testify to you, and they explain what you need to do to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got to be born again. That is, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet you wouldn't do it. Nope. And this is something. You're going to cast out devils in my name. You're going to heal the sick in my name. You're going to do all these things in my name. And when you were presented with Jesus' name baptism, you said, nope, I have nothing to do with that. I don't have anything to do with that. I don't want to. No, not me. Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do you know that to his name, the Bible says, his name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of heaven? So when he gave these disciples authority, he gave them power and he gave them authority. And there are many, many people in the world today that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and thank the Lord for that. But you see, this wasn't meant to be divided up. So, well, I want to do this part and I'm okay. No, you do it all. See? And then the amazing thing is, see, we become joint heirs with Christ. And I think about heaven. I think about heaven all the time. Now, heaven is a city that will be full of kings. because we will reign as kings and priests with him. It's just that it has one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords. So he gives us authority because we take on his name in baptism. I shudder to think about people who have written songs and prophesied and prayed for people, and yet the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, please keep in mind, you know, if you disagree with this, then, you know, somewhere you're going to have to come to a conclusion as to what this means. But I didn't write the Bible. And I got to tell you, I become most confused fellowshipping people that always talked about the power of God. And yet, if you mention Jesus' name, baptism, nope, don't talk to me about that. Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm not going to go there. Well, you get the power when you receive the Holy Ghost, but you get the authority when you use that power in Jesus' name. That's where you get your authority. You put on Christ in baptism. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized today. I meant today. I say today you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Now, there's such a thing as having the authority and yet not having the power. We talked about having the power but not the authority. But in Acts the 19th chapter, you know, there were seven sons of Sceva that they were going to cast the devil out of this man. And so they went up to do this, and of course the demons in him said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who in the world are you?" In other words, you never made a dent at all in the kingdom of Satan. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Makes me feel like moving on. You know, sisters, I just love to do this. So, just... if I leave my phone on someday, you're not embarrassed, are you? No. If I leave my phone on someday and it rings, I'm going to take it off and I'm going to answer it while I'm preaching. And I'm going to tell whoever called me, just hold on a minute. You can listen to my message. I'll be finished here in about. Just set it up here and just keep right on preaching. Oh, praise God. Are we having fun in the house of God today? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the thing about it is, I am very, very, very aware that you can receive the Holy Ghost and you can be baptized in Jesus' name. In other words, the authority can be given to you. And yet, through a lack of a prayer and a lack of discipline, you can just not pay much attention to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. After a while, God's not using you. I want to be used of God. I said, I want to be used of God. So these seven sons, they were going to, in the name of Jesus, cast the devil out, but they didn't have the power. And the devil jumped out and jumped on them and beat them, robbed them of their clothes, and sent them down the road naked. That's what the Bible says. You'd want to turn your head, wouldn't you? But see, that's what happens when you don't have the power. Well, Lord, we tried to cast this devil out of this son, but it just didn't happen. And this is when Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith," he says, "these cometh out not but by prayer and fasting." I think every Christian should be extremely concerned about his productivity in the kingdom of God. Are you praying for people? Are you seeing people delivered? To go out in the park like our group did yesterday and four people received the Holy Ghost, one baptized in Jesus' name. Isn't that great? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, how we need the power. Paul says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, how do we initially receive the power? See, Jesus said, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. You can tell when people repent of their sins at the altar if they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And it all has to do with the level of their hunger for God. And yet people can come down to the altar with problems and such, and you lay hands on them and pray for them. Just, I saw somebody yawning when they've been prayed for. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong to yawn in church. I'm just simply saying you could tell by the countenance that there was no real concern about what was taking place. Just supposed to pray, so let's pray. Paul says when we repent, we develop a vehement desire. We can lose our first love. You ever question whether you've lost your first love? I do. I question that. If I go for a little ways and a little while and I haven't really cried and prayed and sought the Lord, I get stirred about it. It bothers me. You know, I got to tell you, I think what the church needs a real baptism of desire. Where we can get a hold of God and pray for our children, pray for our loved ones, pray for our neighbors, pray for our communities. Hobby Lobby had petitioned the Supreme Court over this health care issue where they were to provide insurance for their employees that included abortion. So they said they weren't going to do it, and the government was going to shut them down. And listen, we've got some very disturbing moral questions that are being dealt with politically. So, you know, you think, well, I live in America. This, I can practice Christianity the way I want to. You may not be able to. So this past week, the Supreme Court did rule in favor of them. And then since then, the Hobby Lobby over in Southtown has been protested by a group of feminists and also by Freedom from Religion Foundation. And they were saying it's not fair that the workers here, the employers here, can't receive benefits for abortion. And, of course, Hobby Lobby is owned by a Christian family with conservative values. And so they're going to protest this. They're doing it already. Now, I said that to say this. Yet on the other hand, as we see our liberties destroyed and taken away from us, and we see America going down, and we see all of these sinful things around us, it's very easy to be caught up like Jesus spoke of when he spoke of the sower that sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside, some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprang up, and what did they do? They choked out the plant. And there's a lot of Christians that are just being choked out. Just choked out. Some of you are just down to drawing your last breath. And what did Jesus say choked out the thorns or what? He said, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, I tell you what you can do. You can move up the success ladder, get yourself a new job and everything where you can afford some of the nicer things of life. You better be careful. Because it's easy then to just stop praying. Man, you sought the Lord, you prayed, you got a hold of God. Altar calls were given, you came to the altar, you danced in the Spirit, you did everything you knew to do to please God and get people saved. All of a sudden, you know, you get a job, you get a raise, get promotion, buy yourself a new this and a new that, and after a while you look at all this stuff that you have. What do you have? Just a bunch of stuff. I said, just a bunch of stuff. Stuff that just captures your time and your attention. You'd pray more, but you don't have enough time to pray. You'd seek God, but your priority now is not in God. Your priority is in, oh, you care, but you care about the wrong things. Do you know most Christians don't burn out? They choke out. When I think of someone burning out, I'm thinking of someone that just applies themselves to the point that, but man, I'm just totally exhausted. I've been preaching, I've been praying, I've been teaching, and I just need a rest. To me, that sounds like burning out. But to run back and forth, all, you know, you got so many things to do. Got to pick up the kids, got to take the kids, got to do this, got to do that. We got this going on, we got that going on. It's got so much stuff, and you become a servant to it. Now, please keep in mind, I'm only preaching this morning what the Bible talks about, what Jesus talks about. He talks about the last days. See, he told Ephesus, unless you repent and go back to your first love, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove your candlestick. In other words, you talk about light going out, you won't even have a candlestick to have light. Now that's what he said. And Laodicea, we're rich, we're increased in goods, we have no need of anything. Sometimes I think the worst thing could happen to anyone is to have enough money to buy whatever they want, whenever they want it. Hey, while you're getting all these goods together, don't forget they're missionaries that are giving their life overseas and they need funds to operate, funds to buy tracts and such, and to run Bible schools. It's very easy then to say, well, you know, you can always fix yourself a budget in which you say, I can't afford. I just can't afford. Well, you can't afford because that's not where your priority is. Your priority is. Now, I don't know what it'd be like to stand before the Lord and hear him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I said, but Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I heal the sick in your name. And of course, he has given me the authority, so I have the power and the authority. So this would never happen to me, but I don't know what it'd be like, you know, if that happened to someone. I don't know what that'd be like. But on the other hand, I wonder what would it be like if all of a sudden I stood there and the Lord says, well, you know, John, you had the power, you had the authority. You know, you had plenty of time to pray. You just didn't do it. You had other things going. Friends to see and parties to go to, and nothing wrong with all that. But the problem is, when that becomes number one in your life, and the most confused people in the world are people who reestablish their priorities on a weekly basis. Come into church on Sunday morning, the preacher preaches. You go to the altar, you pray through. Oh man, you pray through. Come back Sunday night, get another refilling. Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much forgot what you prayed about. Not praying much anymore. Wednesday night, you come back, you go back to the altar. The problem is you're just switching back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When will you get enough discipline to get yourself a schedule? I mean, you're smart, aren't you? Get yourself a schedule and a budget that includes giving. Giving to the God of heaven that gave you everything you have. And praying to the God of heaven that gave you life and breath, filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'd hate to stand there, and the Lord would say, but your problem is, John, you had the authority, but you let the power run out or something. You just never did do much. I said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven, the city of kings, where people are joint heirs with Christ? You want to walk on streets of gold, and yet I couldn't get you to worship or pray or even attend church regularly. Depart from me, you that work iniquity, but what about no Holy Ghost and fire? Oh, my. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Yes. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God? You got to fast, you've got to pray, you've got to seek God. Oh, my. Calvary Gospel Church. Let's take heed to these messages that are being preached about authority and power. Let's take heed to this. If you're working in a Sunday school class, make sure that every person in your class, that they experience the anointing of God upon you, that they experience the power, the authority. When Jesus stood, he was just 12 years old, and they said, we have never seen a boy like this preach with so much authority. For some reason, it was just exuding out of him, flowing out of him. I tell the Lord this, Lord, I don't want to preach until I can stand behind this pulpit and I can feel the power of the Holy Ghost flowing out my body, out my mouth, out my eyes, out my fingertips. I want to feel it. I've got to feel it. Praise God, praise God. And you who are ministers, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, my, how great it is to be under. To feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, I could just keep going and going and going and going. You remember the centurion's servant that was sick, and he sent for Jesus, and when the people went to Jesus, they said, "Now he's a worthy man. He's built a synagogue and he's done all this. So you don't feel bad, you know, about coming to his house because he's up there." But when Jesus got on his way, the centurion met him and said, "No, Lord, I don't want you to come to my house." He said, I am not worthy to have you come to my house. But he said, you know, I'm a man of authority. I'm a man under authority. And I say to one of these soldiers, you go take this shovel over here. And you go take this post over here. And you go down here and you pick this up. Whenever I speak, they all just move. Now, you are a person of authority. All you have to do to see my servant healed is just speak the word. Whatever is hindering, if it's a devil, all you got to do is say, leave this boy. He doesn't have any choice because you have the authority. You know what Jesus says? Jesus said, I have never seen such great faith in Israel as this. Our recognition of authority has a lot to do with our productivity as far as faith is concerned. Just go do it. You know, and sometimes we just get our eyes on the wrong thing. I made up my mind years ago, Brother Russell, that if I'm going to preach the importance of obedience to spiritual authority, I'm going to be under spiritual authority. And I got to tell you, you know, I love our district. I love my district superintendent. I'm glad I'm in the United Pentecostal Church. I love Brother Bernard. You know, he's coming back after, Jesus is coming back after church without spot or wrinkle. Now, he's talking about the church in the last days. Is this the church of the last day? Now, if you want to get on my bad side, all you have to do is come up to me and start talking to me about my wife. Man, how come you to marry her? I don't know how you stand her. What do you think my reaction would be? You'd probably fall out of favor with me, wouldn't you? You want to fall out of favor with God? Start criticizing his bride. Just start. And you're going to be out of favor before you know it. There's some people just have fault-finding spirits. Here's a man that he had every reason in the world as far as his class was concerned to be lofty and lifted up and full of pride and think that he deserved something. But he didn't. He said, all you have to do, Lord, just speak the word. You have the authority. Praise God. I'd like for you to stand with me. I left a lot of loose ends, but we're going to have to come to a conclusion here. You ever been baptized in Jesus' name? You may say, oh, I've been praying about it. Could I help you a little bit? There's some things you don't have to pray about. See, when the Bible tells you to do it, why you want to pray about it? You're going to pray whether you should or shouldn't? It's already determined you should, because that's what the Bible says, so you don't have to pray about it. Just come on and get baptized today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I've been praying about receiving the Holy Ghost. Listen, you don't have to pray about that. You just come on and receive it. Because the Bible says that you need to receive it. You got to be born of water and the Spirit in order to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. As our praise singers sing, if you need a healing for your body, come and stand over here on this side. We have ministers that will come and anoint you with oil. If in the event you've been wrestling with some problem and you just don't have the answer, come stand right here in front of the pulpit. If you want to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, come over here and stand on your right. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on.
When my broken heart was healed upon your hand, you swallowed.
Oh, what a great God we have. Surrender your heart to God. Cast all your cares upon Him. By His stripes we are healed.
You are my King.
You are the one, my everything.
You're my everything, Jesus.
Now I run to You, 'cause You are all I need.
You are all.
Thank you, God.
Reached out your arms, You broke my fall on that day.
Thank you.